Tonight I want to speak to you guys about just our strength, and that's just the sermon's title. But I would like to ask you guys a couple of questions first, and since we are so cozy here, we're going to have to speak a little bit tonight, not just the pastor. So first question that I want to ask you guys is, what is your strength? I'm interested in hearing what you guys have to say. Andrisa, what's here? What? Well, you were the first one speaking. So I'm listening. What is your strength? Boss. Anybody who wants to share, what is your strength? It doesn't have to be a spiritual thing. Come on, man. Hallelujah. That is a great answer. Wonderful. Okay. All right. Ella? Crying in front of the Lord. Okay, great. My strength is right here. It's a grappie. Just a joke. Just a joke. Okay. Now, from the spiritual people at the back there, where do you get your strength from? From the Lord. Jesus Christ. Looks like that's the answer to everything tonight. Might be so. Okay. And then, getting a little bit more practical. And yes, I hear all the great answers over there. How do you strengthen yourself? Exercise, well done. That's a good place to start. Not so spiritual, but very spiritual actually. Okay. Prayer. Okay. Great. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. The non-spiritual over there and the spiritual over here. We'll find the balance here with Sarah. She'll give us the balance. Anyway, this is an important question because, like Gershwin has just shared, some people going through the things that he's going through now. That's a good question to ask. How do you go about strengthening yourself? I know. Strengthen yourself in the Lord. But how do you do that practically? That's the question. Because we've got all these, high and lofty mountains, the joy of the Lord is my strength and all that. But how do we go about it practically? How do you go and say, Lord, what do you do? Do you go and sit somewhere? Do you close the door? Or do you just continue and then just shoot a couple of prayers as you drive, as you go, as you continue with your day. Many times we kind of look at things and it's good to ask questions. If I ask a question like, I want to see us as Shofar Mamas, but it double in size next year. That's a great vision. Wonderful. But how are you going to do that? No, we're going to preach. Okay, what are you going to preach? If you continue down that road, then you come down to a place where it's kind of bottom line. Okay, so for us to double in size next year, every member must bring one person to church and disciple that person. Okay? So, just breaking it down into things that you can understand, not high and lofty things over there, but we'll share a little bit more. I want to read a story tonight from Scripture, actually. I'm not just going to speak about questions all night. And you know the story, most of you, but we're going to read it anyway. The story is about Elijah. And Elijah was a great man of God. And you know, kind of his big symphony orchestra crescendo. How's that for English, huh? He reaches here in 1 Kings 18. And I'm just going to read it to you. It says here, "And I have answered," and he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you be limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Now I want to stop there. And this morning, for those of you who've been in the service, but just for the other people that could not attend, I spoke a little bit about Joshua. In Joshua, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, Elijah asks a simple question here. He says, if the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But the people were in a place where they were so distracted with all kinds of things. And we read things like this, and then we see, yeah, you know, but Baal prophets and all of that, we don't have any of that anymore today. You know, them killing all the babies and all of those things. We still have it today. Anybody want to venture a guess? One of the things that they did to the Baal god was the smiling baby offering. Okay? I don't know who've heard of the smiling baby offering. Tell me. So what they did was, oh, it's Molech. I think it's Molech, the god, yeah. What they did was they had this big calf made out of gold or something. And then this calf had like this big bucket jaw, okay, in the front. And then they would make fire inside this thing, and it becomes extremely, extremely hot. And now when they're at the height of their worship, these people will come and they would bring their babies that has just been born, and then they would sacrifice their babies to Molech. And because that thing is so hot, when they drop the baby onto that thing, then the skin of the baby tightens and it pulls the baby's head or his face into a smile. So that's why then they were going into a big worship because Molech has been pleased because the baby smiled when he was sacrificed. Okay, now we listen to that and we think, how could they do such a thing? At least we are sophisticated. We do not do any of those things anymore. Can I venture another guess? I saw the lips there. I can read them. Linus? Abortion. Now it's legal to do that. It's not the smiling baby technique. But Molech still gets what he needs. And we want to say, you know, all of these funny things, but you know that those are extreme things, because we don't do that. If you have got some kind of Christian thought in you, you don't go there. But as with this morning, Joshua asks and he says, listen to the people, go and serve the gods of your fathers. He said it to them a couple of times, same thing here, go and serve them. You want to, and then say, no, we want to serve the Lord. No, but go and serve them. No, we want to serve the Lord. He does it a couple of times. And, you know, Elijah just does the same thing here. And he says, if the Lord is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But we get into a place where, yes, when you don't, in your heart, decide to serve the Lord, then there are many things that will come and take that place, even without you knowing it. And God just came in and he's starting to wake me up again and said, Aval, hello. I know you're a pastor and all that, but I'm here. You need to come to me to strengthen yourself Getting a little bit ahead of myself here. Anyway, and then you know the rest of the story. I don't want to keep you guys too long tonight. But then he said, let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut them in pieces and lay it on the wood. And so they built this big altar, right? And Elijah says to them, okay, now you go and you ask Baal to rain down fire on this thing. And then they start doing a lot of things. And you're going to go and read there. I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to paraphrase, just for the sake of time tonight. They go and they start worshiping, just like we did. Just singing and dancing. Like. But then, after about 3 hours of that, and they saw it's not working. Now we need to do something more, a little bit more extreme. So they started to cut themselves, and now they're bleeding, and they're still dancing, and nothing's working. And then Elijah goes, and he's kind of mocking them. He's saying, hello, listen, maybe Baal has gone to sleep. You should shout a little bit louder so you can wake him. Now that is a confident man in his God, speaking things like that. All right? So he's speaking to them and says, listen, wake him up, maybe he's sleeping. Anyway, so they go on like that. And then after the whole day, nothing happened. Then he said, okay, enough of this. Bring some water onto the altar, which we're going to, that thing that we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. So they brought the water and more water and more water. So it's kind of wet. And then he just asked the Lord. And they made a trench around it, and the water was contained in all of those things. And then he said there in verse 36, and at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know, O Lord, that you are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. And then verse 38, hallelujah. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. So all of a sudden, this big showdown that was there, God, you know, pushed to a head and God won. Hallelujah. Surprise, surprise. God, I always wondered, do you know how they make glass? They take sand, and that's the weird thing. They make it with sand. Sand and then just a lot of heat. And that's how you make glass. I thought somebody had something today. Okay, maybe there's something else that they put in there as well, but I know that's kind of the big ingredients. There's one movie, I don't know, maybe Elmi can help me. There was where this guy, he hits the lightning rods. Oh, he hits rods, drives rods into the ground. Just sandy ground. And then as the lightning hits that, then it makes kind of like this roses of glass at the bottom of it. But anyway, I can't remember what the movie's name is. Ask Elmi afterwards. She will share. But anyway, so I'm thinking, I want to know where... We should go and look where that place was. I think there would have been a lot of glass after the Lord had taken up that offering with the fire of the Lord. But anyway, that was just on the side. Nothing to do with the sermon. And then Elijah said, seize the prophets of Baal and let not one of them escape. And they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slaughtered them there. And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of a rushing of rain. Okay, so this is still continuing, the one thing on the other. And Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel, and you know, and he bowed down, and he prayed a lot of times, and Gehazi had to run up and down. Until the seventh time, and he said there, a little cloud, like a man's hand, is rising from the sea. And he said, Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you. Before this event, there was 3.5 years of drought in this land. Okay? So now he's speaking, he's saying, listen, the rain is coming. Prepare the chariot and go down until or lest the rain stop you. And then, hallelujah, one of those great things, those great pictures in the Bible, just in my mind's eye. Elijah was not a young man yet. Okay? He was kind of like Christian. A little bit gray in that. And then the hand of the Lord comes upon him. You can read there. And he girds himself up. He girds up his loins so that he exposes his knees. And that man runs away, a chariot pulled with horses. I can just imagine. Hussein Bolt some horses. God comes and he does all of these things. All right. So enough with that part of the story. You can see here that this man's strength is definitely in the Lord. He knows he's God. He's done mighty exploits with his God. And then he had some reasons, you know, to be strengthened. And then this happens, a weird thing. Just the next chapter. And Ahab, you know, he just got his chariot and went to the palace. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sends one messenger to Elijah saying, so may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. And then he was afraid, and he arose, and he ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah. And he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came and he sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my father's. Now all of a sudden, this mighty, mighty, mighty things that he has done, he has forgotten it. He has forgotten things that God has done up until now. One woman sends a messenger to him saying, I'm going to kill you. And then he runs for his life. Weird. Weird things. But taking it back to us, it's so easy for us when things go well, when we do mighty exploits with our God. But then, sometimes, like with Elijah, something happens. Something gets shot in your way that kind of just disturbs your peace. And all of us have weaknesses like that. Jezebel got hold of Elijah here. It wasn't necessary for him to run away. He could have walked up to that woman and said, God, fire. And she would have been dead. But he didn't. He was in a place where he thought to himself, listen, I need to run. I am very afraid now. And we come to a place many times where, and listen to this, the thought of what's coming scares us to run. Can I say it again? Your perception of what's coming scares you to run. When that thing comes, it looks to you like this massive mountain. I'm not going to be able to get over it. And then, on an instant, you forget all the things that the Lord has done up until now. And you get into a place where you go and sit in a hole and you dig yourself in there. And you stay there because I want to die, Lord. But God is so good and God is gracious. Anyway, for Elijah, this was the end of his mighty exploits with God. God said after that, listen, You're going to raise up Elisha for me. And then a new king as well. But I'm going to end with something positive tonight, so don't worry. And the man at the back there, you know, he kind of said my sermon at. He ran it, ran ahead with it, ahead of me with it. Wayne said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, now we're getting spiritual. Couldn't I let you just block it out my sermon like that. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. If Elijah had stayed in that place where he could remember the things that God has done with him and through him, and just remain in that joy, I think he would have been able to say, okay, Jezebel, bring it on, baby. Let's do this. If he would have just taken a step back when he got the news and not made this big thing out of it and remembered what his God has done just the previous day or maybe even the same day, then he would have been able to say, hey, my God is stronger. And he could have strengthened himself in the Lord. And this is where David says, David comes and he says, when everything is against him, hallelujah for David. When everything is against him, the perception of what is coming could have made him run as well. Because all of his friends wanted to kill him. That's kind of a scary thing, if your friends want to kill you. Your mighty men of valor friends, you know, those guys that runs into a camp and kills how many people because you said, I'm so thirsty for that water. Those people want to kill you. He didn't run away. But the Bible says that David strengthened himself in the Lord. Where do you turn to? When the perceptions come, do you turn into yourself? Do you turn into your little hole? Do you run away from the things that scares you? Or do you strengthen yourself in the Lord? It says then, Nehemiah 8 verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions to anyone who has nothing ready. For this day is holy to our Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to tell you a story about myself. And I read the other day. It's fine if you guys know me. Because many times I use stories from my own life. But they call it the spotlight syndrome. And when you've got kids and you're a pastor, then you need to be wary of the spotlight syndrome. Because all your stories and things, especially from your kids, it puts them in a place where everybody knows them and they haven't spoken to any of them. So it's kind of weird. So I'm trying not to use too many examples of Maynard and put him in the spotlight. But anyway, I can be in the spotlight. That's fine. Sometimes we're silly. I was silly. And, you know, then we get ourselves in a place where we have got no joy anymore. I was in Stellenbosch studying there, and it was a wonderful time. You know, I did many mighty exploits with the Lord there. Many people got saved, and, you know, God has just worked through my life amazingly. And then, I'm not saying Jezebel comes, but anyway, then a woman comes. And I knew I shouldn't go out with her. But she was so beautiful, and she made me look good because she's so beautiful and all of that. You know what? I carried on with that for a while. 2 years almost. After 2 years, I was so dead. I couldn't even get out of bed. Now I'm a poet and I don't even know it. I woke up and I felt like Elijah felt. The whole world is just upon me. But you know what? Even if we are stupid and silly, God still wants to restore us to that place where the joy of the Lord is our strength. Like I shared this morning, the thing that God has done with my father is a miracle. And it excites me. That's why when you are a Christian and for a week you don't have a testimony to share, you are in dangerous territory. Because your walk with God is supposed to be a daily thing. If Elijah went and just spoke to his servant and said, "Do you know what God did yesterday?" And he started to speak to that person, then he would have strengthened himself because he would have remembered what the Lord has done yesterday. And then if he turned to somebody else and shared it again, hallelujah. But unlucky for him, you know, Revelations wasn't written yet, so he couldn't turn to Revelations 12, verse 11 says, "You will overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony." But God comes and he says, "Deval, come here. You can stop that." So I stopped that. And I turned around and I started walking away again from all of this nonsense. And many times it's not an instant thing. But as you walk and you start to turn away from the things that put you in that hole, God is so faithful. Hallelujah. He will come and he will restore your joy to you. So I'm challenging you here tonight. If you do not have a testimony that is not more than a week old, ask God for a testimony. And then share that testimony. Because if you stop doing that, yes, you will go on for a while, but then somewhere you will start dropping. And all of those things, the other gods, if you want to say, will start taking up the place in your life where you are supposed to be with God, testifying, saying, "God, you are so amazing. Thank you, Lord." And if you get into a habit like this, then Satan will have to go to very big lengths to get your joy from you. And that's all that he does. He's done it here, and he uses different things. If Satan can steal your joy, he's 70%, 90% won the battle. Because a joyful person is a contagious person. I don't know if you've seen one lately. A person that laughs is contagious. See, if I smile, then you need to smile back to me because it's a contagious thing. You know, it was weird. One day I was walking in the Strand and I walked into Checkers. Was it a Pick n Pay? Doesn't matter. Big supermarket. And there this lady comes. This is a homeless lady, obviously. She looks like it. And she comes in there and she laughs. And it was kind of weird in the beginning. And then somebody speaks to her and then she tells something and she laughs. But you know that laughing here from the belly. And as she laughs, some other people start laughing with her. And then she laughs again, and then more people start laughing with her. And it was the weirdest thing for me. I still remember today. It's kind of like God just bringing this little gift to the people in the supermarket. A laughing, joyful person. Hallelujah. And everybody laughs with her. And everybody walks there edified. Works out there edified. Why? Because she made this huge and impressive service, a sermon? No. She just laughed. She was a joyful person. So I say, thank you, Lord, for bringing that lady over my life that day. Because now I can remember to smile and to laugh. It's necessary to laugh. Please, do not get caught in a hole. So if you would stand with me tonight, I'm ending here. Nehemiah 8, like I said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Satan will do anything in his power to come and to take your joy away. So if you're here tonight and you're in that place and you can feel, you know, a couple of things has come into my head, my life, it's taking away my joy, then I want to pray with you tonight. Because God wants you to be a joyful person. Father, thank you, Lord God, that we can be here tonight. And thank you, Lord, that even just a simple story, Lord God, that you tell us, Lord, from your word can just show us so many things. And Father, we ask, Lord, that as we stand here, Lord God, that you would just restore to us, Lord, your joy. Lord, we want to be people, Lord God, that laughs, Lord God. We want to be people, Lord God, that are joyful people, Lord God. We want to be people, Lord God, that are fun and great to be around, Lord God. Because, Lord, your joy is in us. And your joy is our strength, Lord. And Father, I ask, oh God, that we can get to that place, oh God, where we enter into that joy of yours, Lord, regularly. Daily, Lord. Lord, that it becomes a habit, Lord. A habit, Lord God, that goes beyond ourselves, Lord. And Father, that just rubs off on other people, oh God. That we can come to you, Lord God, with our problems, that you take it, Lord God, and you can restore, Lord, just your joy to us, Lord. And that we can remember, Lord God, the things that you have done in and through us. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, for every person here tonight, Lord God, who's in a place, Lord God, where they feel that Satan's come and want to steal their joy. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would just lift up hearts here tonight, Lord. Father, lift up hearts, Lord God, that are in holes, Lord God. Hearts that are in places, Lord God, where Satan wants to bog them down, Lord God, and put them in a place, Lord, where they can see no light, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you would just come and restore that now, your joy, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, bring your joy, Lord God, and Father, I ask, Lord God, that in this week, Lord God, that you would just help these people, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to start laughing, Lord. And that you would give us moments, Lord God, where we can just laugh. Because you are a happy God, Lord. And we just bless you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. If there's anybody here, I'm not going to ask you guys to come forward now. You can come afterwards. If you want ministry, just come to the front. It'll be great to pray with you. But thanks for being here tonight. Please remember that we're not going to have evening service next week. But we're going to have a morning service that's going to be Tweetala, twice languaged, Afrikaans and English. We're laughing. Hallelujah. Anyway. But the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you joy as you go into this week. Amen.